Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we've got a great show coming up for you, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Agency, AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialist, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, and Daphne's Hottest Place for Chow, the Waterfront Restaurant at Number 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Medicare Lady, Miss Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook, and you can also always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on SBN, we will speak with Corrine Busby. She's a veteran of the Army National Guard, and she's the co-chair of the Race Across America program. And they're going to give us the latest on their programs and how you can help support their efforts. And we'll also be joined on SBN by a 98-year-old World War II veteran, Navy veteran Milton Hudson. He has got some incredible stories to share that you don't want to miss. But first, it's always great to be joined on SBN by Mr. Ray Stiles from AFS Foundation Waterproofing Specialist. Ray, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your service to our veterans and our military folks.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. It's always a great opportunity for us to be able to be on the show and actually be able to talk about various things that not just our veterans, but other people, but because of the show, especially our veterans that see and need and just don't have an understanding of where to call and what to do.
Well, I think you've blessed so many of our veterans on the coast here, which you cover quite a big area. But there's so many of our guys, as you said, that need some help, need some guidance, and you've been very gracious with your opinion and your monies that you have been writing, and also giving those guys some discounts because they are veterans. And as we were talking a while ago, you had veterans on both sides of your family.
Oh, yes.
And thank you so much for what you're doing. But the foundation repair and waterproofing specialist business on the coast, I would think, would be in a certain need. I had a friend the other day that was looking at a house, and it had a very minute crack down the wall and around. I mean, it run from like 3 or 4 feet out and back over into the corner and down the seam. And he said, "I'm just going to put some putty in that and cover it all up." Said it won't be done to it. I says, I'll bet you it'll open up, you know?
100% it will. Yeah. If it's opened up, we're talking about on the inside of the house,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yes. It takes a lot to get sheetrock to just tear.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
If you've gotten it to tear and to do that, something's happening and something's moving, and nothing moves up. We know that. So everything
right.
settles, sinks, or moves.
Yeah.
And we're proudly a foundation company. We don't focus on windows, walls, roofs. We don't do any of that kind of stuff. We proudly focus on foundations. We're a specialty contractor. And we do that on purpose because every house has a foundation, whether it's a slab home or
right,
whether it's a home
right.
off the ground.
Yeah.
And by doing it that way, we can focus on those things and look at that and be able to help you out. Get your friend to give us a call and take one of my cards.
Sure,
and so
I'll do that.
Call.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is that we know that it's got something moving because there can be a trip hazard. A lot of times people think trip hazards, they think driveways, sidewalks, outside
right,
the house.
Right.
Well, it can be the same thing on the inside of the house. If the floor is sinking
yep.
somewhere and then you have a high or low spot in the floor, and unfortunately, if somebody has a walker or has a cane or just doesn't pick their
right.
feet up, my mother—
And so many of our veterans do, you know. We have things that are occurring to us with our knees and legs and all, you know, from
mm-hmm.
Some of our services that have been performed. So. And it's not just veterans, it's senior citizens in general.
Well, that's very true. And that's what I was about to say. My mom has had both knees replaced,
yeah.
and she doesn't pick them up quite as high as she used to.
No.
And
I haven't had mine replaced, and I have the same problem.
You still have your factory ones.
Yeah, I still have factory knees. Not that they're not worn out, but.
Well, I'm quite certain all the times you got to jump off this out of the other when you're in the Marine Corps.
Well, yeah.
Those are things that we really look for and to take care of when we're in a house. We look at the walls with cracks. We look at the door facings sagging one way or the other. We're looking at on the outside of the house. We're looking to see if there's any cracks in the bricks. We're looking to see if there's cracks in the slab, the driveways.
Sure.
I've had a couple of clients now that have had their gates. They've had the long swinging iron
right,
gates.
Right.
Well, the columns that are holding the gates are typically made out of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are sinking or leaning over one way or the other.
I noticed that. Yeah, I've seen a lot of that.
And it's very difficult. Well, we can go look at that and help to try to take care of that. And that's one big thing that we want to make sure of is that even something like that, if people think, well, I can't do anything with it. I don't have the money to tear the whole wall down and start
right,
over.
Right, yeah.
Well, no, let's not tear it down. Let us take a look at it to see what we can do to help save that.
Well, I would think also that with the types of weather and all the rain that we're having here, there's certainly some need for some certified waterproofing specialists.
Oh, 100%. This is the time when we've gone through a time when we didn't have any rain for a while, that all of a sudden we've had quite a bit here in the last week.
Right.
That people start to realize there is moisture being stored and contained underneath their house, and they didn't realize how much water flowed underneath their house until it's been a while, and now it's doing it again, and it's cutting ruts
sure.
and things
sure.
underneath the columns that are supporting the house.
Right.
And it needs to be – there's a possibility of drainage and encapsulation to where we can encapsulate the walls of it to try to keep that area dry. And with our AquaStop air system to actually dry out the inside of that crawl space. So
do y'all have special systems for that?
We do. And that way you can dry it out. We keep the humidity level in that space at 55% humidity
okay.
year-round.
Well, that eliminates a mold problem then, right?
Yes, sir. That's the idea, is that way we can dry that out and keep the humidity level below 60. Because we know anything above 60% is breeding grounds for organic
right.
growth.
Right.
And we don't want that underneath your house. Because remember, 50% of the air you're breathing inside your home is coming from your crawl space. Assuming you have a crawl space
sure.
under your house
right.
and not a slab home. But because your air conditioning system is drawing it in and you opening the doors, things like that, it's just coming inside the house.
Well, we have excessive humidity here on the coast
Ooh.
Anyway. It's, you know, our even trying to keep your humidity down just in your house is really, you know, really unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that's what the air conditioner does.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the air conditioner is doing the top side, and a lot of times we have these vinyl floors that are help holding moisture to
right,
the floor.
It does.
And so it's trying to control that. Well, the underside is being saturated, and the AC really can't dry the floor out because it's trapped between the vinyl and the water mat that's behind it,
sure.
the moisture pad that's there. So grand scheme of things, you have a lot of stuff going on at one time, and it's hard to ask the air conditioning system to do both sides of the floor.
Well, where can people go to get information on that, have a contact with you?
You can,
and what kind of service can they expect? I mean, how quick?
Well, actually, we have 8 crews of guys that are going around and doing installs. We go all the way to Destin to the east. We go to Mississippi-Louisiana border to the west, up to Meridian, Mississippi, over to Greenville, Alabama, and we cover all that south.
Goodness, okay.
So we've got a large territory. We're out at Mobile, and our number is 251-402-9219. Again, that's 251-402-9219. The website is afsrepair.com. Give me a call. I'd be more than glad to get set up a time for you to come out and talk with you. And let's take a look at it. We don't charge to do to
no
look
cost,
at it.
Okay. All right, buddy. Ray Stiles here.
Thank you, Vance.
Field inspector here with AFS Foundation Waterproof Specialist. We appreciate them working with us, and we appreciate them helping take care of our veterans. And as always, you can visit scuttlebuttonetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, Ms. Corrine Busby, the co-chair of the Reach Across America program.
100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttonetwork.com. And if you like to listen on demand, the podcasts of our regularly aired programs are up on the FM Talk 106.5 app. And Tom's tirade is up on castbox.fm. And it is an honor to be joined on SBN by Corrine Busby, a veteran of the Army National Guard and co-chair of the Reach Across America program. Corrine, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys having us back.
Corrine, looks like this is the heavy time of the year for you guys with the Reach Across America.
Yes, sir. We are gearing up for our ceremony that's set to take place December 13th, which is this Saturday at 9 a.m. at Serenity Memorial Gardens in front of the Wall of Honor there on Old Pascagoula Road.
So you're the Reach Across America division that you represent. That's working through Serenity Memorial Gardens and their funeral sites out there. Is that true?
Yes.
And y'all working through American Legion Post 250 with this?
Yes, we sure are. Our actual name is Reach Across America, Serenity Memorial Gardens, American Legion Post 250.
Good gracious, that's a long one.
But it is.
How long have you been raising money for this year?
We started December of last year.
Oh, my goodness,
December
okay.
December 15th of last year, the day after our ceremony last year. And we've been fundraising all year long for this weekend.
Well, how many, do we know how many veterans there are in the Serenity Memorial Gardens?
A wild guess. For Veterans Day, we put out close to 2,500 flags on veterans' graves. And we still had veterans left to cover. So I would best guess estimate, maybe around 4,000.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I know that y'all have, as you say, you've been collecting money all year now. The collections that you have now, is it that can be any kind of donations? I mean, $5, $10, $20, or $100, whatever?
We will take whatever we can get, of course. A wreath to sponsor is $17, and whatever money is donated to us, we place it towards those wreaths. We actually were able to raise funds to purchase 1,728 wreaths.
Oh, goodness. That's a bunch. Y'all don't make these wreaths. They're actually made somewhere else, aren't they?
Yes, they're made in Maine.
Right.
They're real balsam wreaths. They're not fake, like your fake Christmas tree wreaths. They're
right.
Actual real pine wreaths.
Okay, so then, in the other words, they will not be able to be used again next year?
No, they will not be able to be used again next year. In fact, we'll have a pickup day on January 19th to pull them out because, you know, down south it doesn't get very cold and the reefs will start dying. And
right, right.
So we'll pull them up and we'll put fresh ones out next year.
I'll be darned. Okay, but then I noticed that y'all had a big tractor trailer come in here and brought these reefs in here not too long ago.
We sure did. Last weekend we had a tractor trailer come in, which might I add that all of the truck drivers that deliver the reefs across America are all volunteers, and these transport companies volunteer their time, money, and gas deliver the reefs all over America.
Well, that's a lot.
And we unloaded 174 boxes of reefs just for ourselves.
Good gracious. Now, I noticed that you had a lot of some people that came out and volunteered to help with that, but I was extremely proud to see the Scallywags Jeep Club come out with you.
Yes, we were very excited to have them. They actually escorted our truck from the Grand Bay exit down to Serenity Memorial Gardens with their flags flying on their Jeeps and everything. So it was wonderful. We were in tears.
Well, you know, and I know a bunch of those guys because they work with us on our Veterans Helping Veterans Car Show that we have in September. And they're a very gracious group of guys and gals that they love their Jeeps, but they're kind of like the Patriot Guard riders. They're going to step up for any event that they need escorts for and work with them, even in collections of monies and all for the charities that they work with.
They do, and they said now that they know about us that they will help us through the next year to raise money to purchase reefs for next year also. So they're a great group of people.
They are.
They enjoyed them, and they jumped right in and started helping unload those reefs.
Good gracious. But now you're going to start collecting money again here when you start picking these reefs up in December?
Actually, we will start collecting money for the reefs on December 13th, this Saturday. We will have...
That's when you put them out?
Yes, when we put them out. And from December 13th to December 31st of this year, National Reefs Across America is going to do a matching event where for every reef bought, they will match that reef in those 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
So if we get 25 reefs bought, purchased in the next 2 weeks, then they'll match us the 25 reefs.
Mercy. Well, that's good. In other words, it would behoove the people that may be interested in making a donation to this to do it in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, sir, most certainly.
Well, what sources do you have that would make that available to someone who would want to make a donation?
We have our website, which is www.reefsacrossamerica.org/AL0167. And then we have our Facebook page, which is Reefs Across America, American Legion Post 250, Serenity Gardens.
Okay. Now, if you had somebody that wants to come down and help you put the reefs out, how does that work?
Well, they can Serenity Memorial Gardens on Old Pascagoula Road in front of the Wall of Honor. Our ceremony will start at 9 a.m., but we encourage everybody to get there early because we are expecting many, many people. We have four different motorcycle groups that are coming in and riding in. We're going to have the Honor Guard from the American Legion 250. We will have guest speakers coming in, and we will have family members of people buried at Serenity coming in to lay wreaths on their loved ones' graves and all. So it's going to be a big event, and we have a really special surprise this year that I finally let the cat out of the bag. The pilots from the Roy E. Ray Airport here in Irvington are going to do a missing man flyover for us before we start laying the wreaths this year.
That is awesome. You know, I know all of those guys. I actually have lunch with them once a month. And that is an awesome group of pilots that own those planes and fly. I know that I also work with the battleship, and they have flyovers out there usually three or four times a year. And those guys bring those planes out, and they make out like they're attacking the battleship. And also, that within itself will be an extremely eventful event. And yeah. People need to come on out and help put out these wreaths. And at the same time, the presentation of all of these events that you have going on, as well as the flyby. Do you know exactly what time the flyby is, or did I miss that?
No, I don't know exactly what time. We're expecting our ceremony to last about 45 minutes. So and they're kind of towards the end. So I would say at about 9:40-ish that they'll be flying over.
Okay, so this is going to start. I'm skipped over this. December 13th, 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
All right.
Will be the beginning of our ceremony.
Now, that being said, you're going to pick these back up on January the 19th?
Yes, sir. We're going to pick them up January the 19th at 10 a.m.
Will you need people to help you do that as well?
Most certainly. We'll have to pick up all 1,728 wreaths.
Lord have mercy.
Yes, so we'll need volunteers on January the 19th also.
Well, you need to get back with us, and so that we can bring that to the attention of our listeners out there so that they can make themselves available on that date on January the 19th. So, again, let's give some more information about the how to make a donation website, and then your location and times of need here on putting these out.
All right, so our website again is www.wreathsacrossamerica.org/AL0167, and our ceremony will be this Saturday, December the 13th at 9 a.m. at Serenity Memorial Gardens in front of the Wall of Honor on Old Pascagoula Road.
And don't forget to fly over, people.
That's right.
Yes, what an awesome event. All right. Now, how on the website that you have there, what tools are you using to make donations? I'm like Cash App, Venmo, or whatever?
Well, on the website, I always use my debit card, credit card, and I think they do PayPal.
PayPal?
PayPal. I'm
all right.
Sure.
WreathsAcrossAmerica.org, AL0167.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Corrine. Awesome job, and we appreciate you. Your service to our country.
Thank you. We appreciate you for having us and getting our word out.
Amen. Have a blessed day.
All right.
You can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, our Navy veteran Milton Hudson when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Cal?
Hey, welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we'd certainly want to thank the fine folks that helped make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyers Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialist, Ms. Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's U.S. Eatery, the waterfront restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Charlie Wilson Agency, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And it is truly a privilege to be joined on SBN by our World War II Navy veteran, Milton Hudson. Milton, welcome to SBN, and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you, too.
Milton, I tell you, I had a chance to talk to you a little bit the other day. I actually had a chance to meet you out at South Alabama at the football game out there. And got a chance to bring my 97-year-old Marine out there. He's not a sailor, but, it, you know, y'all hauled him around all over the place anyway. But it was neat to be able to meet you. Give us a little bit of insight about your name and where you live. Where, you know, a little background here and, like, when you went in service.
Well, it's Milton Hudson, and I live out of Tillman's Corner. I've been out here for 60-something years. I was born and raised in Oakdale, if anybody knows where that is.
Oh, yeah, I remember it well.
But I went into service in 1944, and I was 17 years old, dropout from school. I had my mother sign for me to go, and I went to boot camp at Camp Perry, Virginia. It was a CB camp, but they had the Navy in there at the time, just plain Navy. After I got out of boot camp, I went aboard the ship in Norfolk at the USS Charles Carroll, APA 28, is attack transport. And I went aboard there in November of 44. And from there, I went through the canal, through Balboa, Panama Canal at Balboa, and on up to San Francisco. And from there, I went to Espirito Santos in the New Hebrides off of Australia.
Good gracious.
If you're familiar with Water Canal and Bougainville, that was right just north of Australia in the New Hebrides
right.
Islands. But I guess I did just about every island in the Pacific off and on. We went to Guadalcanal and we'd held maneuvers, just practice landings back and forth from canal. Guadalcanal was secured, so to speak, but there was still some action going on there, but we didn't see any of it. But I traveled over to Philippines and Manus and went back to the Guadalcanal and in the Russell Islands there. We did some more landings, just practice landings. And
what do you think?
From there up.
Do you think during that time that y'all were practicing for some big landing or something, or was just practice?
We knew that we were going to have a landing somewhere, and the reason we were doing practicing there, the landing that we were going to make, they anticipated coral reefs.
Okay.
And what we did, we took the LCVPs in as far as we could go, and we transferred our cargo, troops, or whatever we had into these ducts that had tracks on them, and they could go over the, supposedly they could go over the coral reefs and on into the beach.
Okay.
But we, at that time, we didn't know that we were going to Okinawa.
Okay. So in reality, that's what y'all were really practicing for.
Right. But like I said, we didn't know where we were going to be going into.
That right. Did you stay on the same ship this whole period of time?
Oh, well, after the war ended and everything, I was transferred to another ship.
Right.
I went aboard an AGC, which is a communication ship, the USS Wasatch Number 9, and I finished out my tour there. But that was after the war.
Right. Right. But now, what were some of the other areas that y'all went to before you went to Okinawa?
Well, we went, like I said, to the Russell Islands and Ulithi. We rendezvoused at Ulithi with all the other ships to go to Okinawa. And that was in March, about March the 27th. And we left there and went to Okinawa. And it was April the 1st of 1945, which was Easter Sunday, and also April Fool's Day.
That was unbelievable, considering what y'all were fixing to do.
Yeah.
You know?
We landed at Yellow Beach on the south end of Okinawa, and it was right there at a little river. It was a beach cow, and a little town up the end of the river was Agachi. In a small airport, I believe it was a small airport on the other side of the river. I think that's what our objective was at the time. But the Japanese pulled back. They started a different tactic, and they'd pull back and leave snipers. But they really didn't guard the beach that much. And we was worried mostly about kamikazes, Barker bombs, and they had these boats that had munitions on them that they would run into ships. It was another suicide procedure. And the ships would get underway every night and go out to the sea lanes and away from the coast. And then the next morning they'd come back and we'd discharge the rest of our cargo or troops or whatever we had on board. He had to be back to the ship because they left around 5 o'clock, and if you didn't make it back, you had to spend the night on the beach.
Uh-oh.
But there were LSTs on the beach, and you could tie up alongside of one of those and spend the night.
Okay. Well, y'all didn't have any crew quarters or anything aboard those things. What did you utilize?
Just slept in the boats. You could go aboard the LST and sleep there. They were taken wounded and what have you.
Okay.
On LSTs, but my LZVPs was a landing craft that we would took the troops to the beach on and our cargoes.
Right.
But we stayed there for 7 days and got underway and left there. While we were there, I might mention if anybody.
All right,
remembers.
Well, go ahead, Milton. Let's hold on just a second because it's very interesting on the details that you're giving, and it's just unbelievable that your mind is still as sharp as you are and remembering all those details. But we're going to take another short break right here and get some commercial sales on board here for the people who are sponsoring our show, and we certainly do appreciate all those people working with us. And we'll be right back in a matter of a minute or so, and we'll get a chance to talk to you some more, and you can get into a little bit more depth about that. Thank you so much, sir.
All right.
Hit a lick against what's wrong. Say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, on 106.5 FM and streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple old Marines, with just a little bit to say the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And again, we're very honored to be joined on SBN by Navy veteran Milton Hudson. Milton, again, thank you so much for being here with us and sharing your stories.
Milton?
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Yeah.
Listen, how about going back and let's go back to the Okinawa when you guys started there. There's some questions I want to ask you as you go along, but I'll let you. We'll work through that. But there was numerous different types of landing craft involved in that invasion, weren't they?
Yes. So on the ship that I was on, it was the attack transport. They had LCVPs, landing craft, and as landing craft vehicle personnel, we had LCMs, which is landing craft mechanism, which was could carry a tank. They were pretty good size.
Right.
All of them had the ramps, and we had some just plain personnel for the officers and what have you. The captains had a what they called a gig. And it was just a LCP, landing craft personnel.
Right.
But
was all of these? I know a lot of these boats were made by Higgins out of New Orleans, but were those boats that you were just talking about? Were they wooden hulls or were they steel hulls?
No, the LCM was a steel hull. It was much larger. You could put. An LCVP, which was a wooden hull, you could put an LCVP in the hull of a LCMs, and that's where we stored some of them on the ship.
Okay.
You put the LCMs down, and then you'd store the LCVP in the LCM. But the boat that I was on, the LCVP, it was called the parking on the ship was a Well and David. It hung out over the side on the boat deck. We had nine LCVPs on each side of the boat deck on what they call Well and Davids. And the rest of them was on the bow and the stern.
Man. Well, did y'all just carry the boats or did you have the troops too?
Oh, we had the troops and material.
Turn. Okay, so you were actually ferrying troops from your ship with boats off of your ship to the landing zone.
They'd go over the side of the ship down a cargo net into the LCVPs, and then we'd take them to the shore and go back and get another load. Do the same thing over and over again.
Now, this was all at daylight hours?
Yes.
Okay. Well, were y'all confronted with anything on the coral reefs that we talked about a while ago?
No, the underwater demolition supposedly took care of the reefs.
Okay. Now, see, I wasn't aware of that had even occurred.
That's what I've been told, and
right.
I don't know.
But you didn't. You know, something happened because y'all didn't run into them going in.
No. We went all the way into the beach without any problem with the reefs or anything.
Well, this particular boat that you were on, how many troops could you carry on it? A load?
1,800. We could carry 1,800 troops.
On the ship?
And then, on the ship, yeah.
Right. Then how many could you carry in your landing craft?
Oh, 34.
Well, you had that was a big rig. Go ahead.
Pretty good size.
Do they have diesel motors in them?
They had gray marine diesel in the LCVPs and a single engine, and on the LCMs they had duals, two screws on those, the two engines.
Unbelievable.
They were big steel hulls. So.
Right. And you say that I was with the understanding that once they started, they went like 24 hours straight, but you're saying that you actually had stopped and had to be back to your mothership by 5 p.m.
O'clock.
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
Right. Yeah, they would go out, like I said, in the shipping lane, but further out, and they would had aircraft that patrolled around the shipping lane to protect us, I would assume.
So y'all actually reloaded your troop transporters that you were operating, and y'all put those back on the mothership?
We put the LCVPs back, but we left the troops on and everything on the beach.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but then I guess then you would have to refuel them and check them all out and get them ready for the next day's operation.
That's correct. That's okay. Correct.
Darn, okay, that's unbelievable.
Well, we had a three-man crew in the LCVPs, and there was a four-man crew in the LCMs.
Okay. Okay, so then, so you had like a captain or something, the one, the skipper of the
you had a coxswain and a motor machinist mate.
Okay,
and a deckhand, so to speak, that took care of the ramp. You know, it had a ramp that lowered.
Right,
you had to lower it and raise it.
Well, now, all this being said, how many days did y'all actually ferry those troops in?
5 days.
It was 5 days. It took that many days, yes, to clear your ship of the troops?
Right. That's right.
Okay. All right. So now there was other ships that was landing at the same time?
Oh, yes. Quite a number of APAs and they had what they called AKAs, which was carried just cargo. They didn't carry any troops. The AKAs carried cargo.
Mercy. Okay. I need to get you and Pop Jones hooked up. Pop's 99, and he was on one of those other units, one of the other boats, during that period of time. So y'all would probably have some unique conversation about on what y'all had done over there. So I'll make it a project to maybe get him over to Billy's one day and y'all could have lunch together.
That sounds good.
Yeah, we could do that. Now, I also was talking to Pop. He's telling me that while y'all were there doing that, some of the big guns, like the battleship Alabama, was offshore, and she was firing rounds over y'all's head and into the inland trying to soften up the troops.
That's correct. At times, you could really see the projectors going over and from the rear end of them. You could see them going.
It's weird, but
people don't understand that.
Yeah, I'm laughing about it, but I was thinking about those rounds up from the battleship are like 2,200 pounds, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, man, they fired Volkswagens over y'all's head. You know?
The biggest thing we had on the troop ship was a 3-inch 50.
I'll be darned. I asked Pop, well, what do you think about the battleship? He said, I don't like the Alabama. I said, why? He said, they scared me to death. He said, I'm scared of this going to fire a short round. One of them didn't have a right amount of ammunition in it, and it would land on top of us over there. But, you know,
That'd be something to worry about.
I know, you know, but the conditions that you guys were working under, and see, America has no dang idea about what you veterans went through and what you sailors went through. And we're Marines, we always jostling you about being Uber drivers and all that, but hell, y'all were doing as much fighting as we were, you know? It just wasn't hand-to-hand.
When you're 17 years old, you don't think about it either.
Hey, you don't really give a flip either, did you?
That's right.
No, you know? But I was talking to a friend of mine, though, yesterday, and we were talking about grandsons and great-grandsons and all, and I said, man, I don't even want to think about that too much because I think about all the 17, 18, 19-year-olds that gave their lives to fight for this country and our freedoms that we have today. And they didn't get a chance to have those kids, have a wife, and have grandkids, and have great-grandkids and all. And I said, and so many times now, America doesn't realize that.
It's a different time.
It is. It's a totally different time, man. And it's just unbelievable. Now, give me a little scenario about the XO and the CO that was on your ship and how they wound up having something to do with the Alabama. It's going to be short because we only have about a minute.
Oh, well, the last captain that we had was Commander Twings. It's T-H-W-I-N-G, and he was from Seattle. And when he got off the ship, well, we hit a typhoon and had to change course and go up to Seattle. And he got off the ship, and so did I. But he was the one that brought the battleship to Mobile, the Alabama to Mobile.
That's unbelievable.
They contacted him, and he came with the ship and stayed with it for about 3 or 4 months here in Mobile.
I'll be darned. Well, Milton, you have an awesome history. You're an awesome veteran. We are so appreciative of you and what you've done for this country. And we will endeavor here on the Scuttlebutt Network to have you back on the air and do a little bit more investigation and rundown. But we don't want to get on top of the taps here. But God bless you, brother. Appreciate you taking the time to be with us tonight.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, sir. Hero is what we just talked to. But that is not a four-letter word. Hoorah!